The rest of us, we can turn in our Bibles to the book of Genesis, and we're going to start in Genesis this morning. We've been talking about relationships, and one of the most important principles about relationships is understanding that God has an intent that we would have them be godly, that they would be biblically based, that they would not be something that is contrary to His Word, contrary to His desires, and contrary to His expectations. So as we often talk about in premarital counseling or marital counseling, or anybody that starts, if you will, that courtship slash dating process, whatever it may be, these are things that we teach. These are things that we go through because we want to understand what God's expectation is for us and how we are to go about pleasing Him in those relationships. So what we find here is we've talked about the husband, and guys, we're done beating you up. Amen? Amen. So, ladies, you're next. So, let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer. We'll get into this morning, and then after that, I'll quit the church because everyone's going to be mad at me. So, but let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much that we can come here this day and look at your word and, Lord, receive instruction from you and your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I just pray that we would look at all these things, Lord, with an openness of mind, according to your doctrines, according to your beliefs, that we would receive these things, Lord, that we would cast aside the things of the world, the impressions of the world, the expectations of the world, and what it is that we think that is correct. That, Lord, we would seek only your righteousness in all things, specifically in regards to these relationships. I pray, Lord, you would just be with me and speak through me, that all of this would be pleasing and honoring to you. And I thank you again for this time. This I ask in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. And I want to make it clear, the world has a very different understanding of males and females. I mean, obviously, we live in a day and age where things are really skewed, and people have all these different mentalities and ideas of what they think marriage looks like, and, you know, again, how somebody is to be married to another individual. And I will tell you this, there is often a lot of conflict. Now, I'm going to show you something. This is from a book, and it's humorous in its nature. This is apparently how you win a woman. It says right there, you may fascinate a woman by giving her a piece of cheese. I use that to say this is kind of the world's mentality. I mean, you go through this and there's a lot of other things. I mean, you know, the first one was just kind of, you know, weird in itself. But the second one, when I got to the, you know, you get to the cheese part, it's like, wait a second, what? Let me make this clear. That's physical. And I use this as an example to point out that this is the world's mentality. They don't think of things in a spiritual nature with relationships. They think only in the physical. And when they think only in the physical, that's all the relationship is. And the relationship should go much deeper than some sort of just physical thing. It must be spiritual. It must involve God. If it doesn't, it's not pleasing unto Him. Now, as I've said before, time and time again, individuals will have this idea and this concept of, hey, well, there's people out there that are in the world that are unsaved, that are not Christians, and they seem to be living a happy life. Well, amen. Praise God that they can do that. But I will tell you this, they need to trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and I guarantee that that relationship will look 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times better than what it really is. Let's not set the bar low. Let's set it according to God's standards. And that's what we need to do. So as we look at this in Genesis chapter 2, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, we have this first mention here, and it says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. And this is important to understand. So as the Lord says, it's not good that man be alone. He has all of these animals there. And it's very clear that is not sufficient. That is not sufficient. You know, during this last campaign, some people made some things about, some comments about cat ladies and so on and so forth, and so on and so forth, you know, all these derogatory things. Let's be clear. If a person loves an animal more than a human being, there's something wrong with that person's thought process and spirituality. Amen? I mean, I get it. I love my dogs. My dogs, they're a blessing unto me. And the Bible says, the righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. So we take care of them, and the Lord allows that in a kind of domesticated relationship. And praise the Lord for it. And it's great. It's good. But no animal should ever replace a spouse. You know, there's the terminology that people talk about with dogs. What are dogs often called? Man's best friend. You realize that that is a direct insult to God? I mean, we often don't think about those things, but honestly, that's the case. I mean, there's a lot of things that we don't realize how insulting they are. There was a pastor one time, he kept saying this word. It was, just one of those words that we often use in normal everyday vernacular and speech. And I kind of stopped him at one point and I said, you probably shouldn't be using that word. He's like, why? What does it mean? He said, doesn't it mean this? And I said, well, that's kind of what it means now, but here's the source and the origination of it. And he heard it and he said, I am never saying that word ever again because of how vile it was. And again, we use these type of things and we don't realize how insulting they are and offensive they are towards our Lord and Savior. And I just want to make sure that we understand that. When we say that an animal is man's best friend, that's contrary to what we've got going on right here. Now look, I will tell you this. You know, a lot of people call their wife or their spouse their best friend, and I understand the concept behind that. But there's a bit of a different relationship between a friend and a spouse. Amen? It's not necessarily the same thing. They're very different. And we've seen what, you know, friendships look like as a base form of relationships. And as we move into the spousal relationships, there's more of an expectation. There's more of a outlined desire that we should have towards that person. And what we find in this is in verse 21, it says, and the Lord God caused Adam caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh there instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. Notice it's a capital W. Eve's first name was woman. You know, there's all this stuff that goes around talking about the definition of a woman. Well, the definition of woman is Eve. That's where that comes from. And I'll tell you this, sometimes the right and the left don't get that right. It's biblically based. It says, because she was taken out of man, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And what we find here in this passage is the origination of marital relationships. And this is what God wants us to look at. And as we look at this first mention, we find that there's a principal function that the wife serves. And that is a help meet. Now go over to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. And I will say this about Proverbs chapter 31. A lot of people say it's impossible for a woman to meet the qualifications here in Proverbs chapter 31. Because there's a lot of stuff. A lot of women will say, I don't have any handmaids. I wish I had handmaids. Things would be getting done. A lot of times, women are not, found. I mean, this woman, she's industrious. She's got a home business going on. Plus, she's a real estate investor. I mean, that's a lot of work. Amen. I will say this. What we find about this, and as we've talked about the book of Proverbs, this woman, let's be clear who she is. She's wisdom. That's who this woman is. This is what is to be desired. This is kind of how this relationship works. Now, there are patterns absolutely here that we should take and that we should apply. And very clearly, one of the ones that we see here is how she is and towards her husband in her mentality and in her heart. Take a look at verse 12. It says this. It says she will do, back up to verse 11. It says, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that she'll have no need of spoil. She will do him good all the days, do him good and not evil all the days of her life. When we begin to realize what help meets it are, this is right here what we find. Now look, I will be very clear, and this has been said time and time and time again. When you're out there and you're in the single world and you're looking for somebody, when it comes to the courtship type process, you need to be able to understand this, that if you're a woman looking for a man, you need to find somebody that you are willing to trust and follow. And at the same time, men, you need to be able to find one that you can trust, that you're willing to die for. If you can't do that, you got no business entering into that relationship. That's not biblical. So what we find here is we find that God said, this is that type of relationship that's going to please Him, that's going to honor Him. And obviously these two words clearly show that the woman has a very specific purpose that God has ordained from creation. Just like He has a purpose with the husband. We talked about that word, husband. It is an agricultural term. He's a farmer. He is somebody that grows, develops, and if you will, gets things to produce. That is his specific purpose. And we find that that was his purpose in the garden, to keep it. So what we find is we find with the wife, there is a very clear understanding of what she is to be doing in this relationship. While the husband is responsible for getting growth and specifically in the spiritual manner, not just physical. Let's forget the cheese that we just saw, amen? And let's go towards this right here, where it's a biblical purpose that, guys, your purpose, you need to have people growing in your house spiritually. If people aren't growing in your house, you've got a problem. You got to address that. Ladies, what we find here is as a wife, you have this clear purpose of what you're supposed to do as well. Now, I've talked about it. Both the husband and the wife are keepers at home. People don't understand that concept and understand what that means. They don't understand that word keeper, about protection and so on and so forth. This is how she goes about doing what the Lord has commanded her to do. And what we find is she accomplishes this purpose by being a companion. And I will tell you this, marriage is often called a covenant of companionship. Look, the world has this idea that marriage is not even a covenant, but is a convenience. If it suits them, then fine. If it doesn't, then no. That's not marriage. There's not a lot of things that, if you will, if you go into it and you look at it, are convenient about marriage. Marriage takes work. Marriage takes diligence. Marriage takes effort. Marriage isn't just going to be the romance novel and everybody falls in love and they all live happily ever after. There needs to be a follow-up to that. What happens when the prince loses his job? What happens when the princess gets sick? Seriously sick. What happens when there's a death? What happens when there's a problem in the house that may be family related? I mean, I want us to understand that those things, those are not convenient. Amen? Are family problems convenient? Anybody ever have family problems? Oh, let me rephrase that. Raise your hand if you have never had familial problems. We want to talk to you later. It happens. It's just one of those things. So what it means is that it requires a purposing of the heart, a covenant that says, I am going to do what God wants me to do the way God wants me to do it. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. First Corinthians chapter 11, it says in verse 9, neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Now, I'll tell you this, that does not fly very well in the world today. People begin to balk at that. Now, look, ladies, as I said before, that doesn't mean that you're lesser. Okay? In the eyes of the Lord, there's neither male nor female. He looks at you as you need salvation as a soul. And he cares for you as a soul. And he died for you on the cross and shed his blood for you. And he rose again so that there would be victory against sin and death for you. He did that for you, ladies. Don't believe any of this garbage that I've heard before where somebody says that women can't be saved. You're like, well, nobody preaches that. Oh, I've heard it. I've heard that women are secondary creation and they're no better than the animals. And I'm like, well, that creates a whole slew of problems there, brother, that we're not going to discuss. But that's blasphemy, in my opinion. Not only is it heresy, it's blasphemy. Because that's not how God created it. And again, this is something we need to understand. Guys, we are specifically told in Ephesians chapter 5 that we are to honor her and give her reverence. As much as we do ourselves. Now, people, again, they take problems, you know, with these words that are here in Scripture, because they don't understand and they don't want to follow a biblical pattern. That's generally the issue why people debate these things and have issues with these things. It's that they don't want to follow the Word of God. And when they don't want to follow the Word of God, they're in rebellion and they create a bunch of issues and problems and they try to manufacture things. But the fact is the way that the Lord has made it is it's very clear from Genesis chapter 2 and what we find in Proverbs 31 and what we find right here in 1 Corinthians 11 that there was a creation and it was for the man. And the Lord wants it that way. Because again, there's a lot of typology that we find in marriage that represents a lot of things that Christ has done, Christ is doing, and Christ will do. We start messing around with that, we're getting out of line. And it was very clear that these animals could never meet this need. Now, again, this should get a woman to kind of think in her mind, that means that God created me in a specific way for a specific purpose, and He wants me to do that. Women are necessary for men. This is something that the Lord shows us in Scripture. And the reason that God has done these things, again, is for the companionship. It is not good that man should be alone. The husband and wife together come together for the purpose of companionship for each other. This is what God wants. Now look, the world is going to say that companionship looks very different. They're going to talk about various different ways and things that the woman is going to fulfill that companionship. But I will tell you this, the best way that a woman can fulfill the companionship is to be spiritually edifying to her husband. So just as the man is to be spiritually edifying and growing his wife, the woman needs to be spiritually helping and edifying her husband. When these things don't happen, things go off the rails. And I'll be very clear. No animal is ever going to be spiritually edifying to you. You're like, well, hold on a second. God didn't make the animals to be spiritually edifying. Now, I understand that somebody can have comfort in their soul with an animal, and there's animals that sometimes comfort. And I'll tell you this, when I was going through all the garbage that I went through, one of the things that I did want to do, it was just sit at home on the recliner with my blanket and have my dog Rolo on my lap, because he loves my lap and I love having my dog on my lap. But I will tell you this, that might be give me some physical, if you will, comfort, but it's more comforting that my wife was doing what my wife was doing the whole time. That to me was comforting. And it was spiritual in nature. Animals can't do that. As it says, animals cannot meet this need of man while they can provide assistance and labor, and I use the word companionship there in quotes, in the form of domesticated pets. The task of a real partner in life is in the flesh is found in the wife. It's right there. It's her. You're not going to find a better companion. Doesn't the Bible say that if you find a wife, you find what? Good thing. And everybody that's married in here says? Amen. Wow. That was weak. And the guy said?
Amen.
There we go. All right. Let's get that straight. I will tell you this, it is a good thing. It's a good thing to have a spiritually edifying wife. It's a good thing to find your wife reading the Bible. It's a good thing to find your wife studying the Bible. It's a good thing to have your wife asking you questions about the Bible. It's a good thing to see your wife teaching your children about the Bible and teaching other Christians about the Bible. It's a good thing to have that. That's what you want, guys. You don't want to, look, you don't want somebody that is going to be your handmaid, that's going to be a servant, that goes around and all it does is cook and clean and again, wash your dirty underwear. Wash your own underwear. Cook your own food. Cook for your wife. Clean the house. Those are things, look, I find more men cooking in the Bible than I do women. Just saying. And it shouldn't be Top Ramen, okay? Look, and I say all that, those are some physical things, but the most important part is the spiritual, guys. Ladies, you've got a great responsibility. You've got a great responsibility. An animal cannot communicate in the same fashion as a human, as they lack the same components. We personify these creatures that we have. And we act like they're humans, and they're not. We put words in their mouth, and I guarantee you that there's no words going on inside their skull. Seriously, there was a study that tried to figure out what language dogs speak. I'm like, you wasted money on that? You wasted money on that. First and foremost, we're never going to know that. And how they think, and we can get some understanding about all that. But look, we're not God. Don't try to divine something that we are not supposed to. That's not something that's in our purview. People are like, well, you know, some dogs speak English and some dogs speak German and some dogs speak Dutch and so on and so forth. And there are dogs that speak those languages. And they're typically dogs that you don't want to necessarily have a close encounter with because they're very, very, very much protective. If you've noticed that they use German and Dutch commands for those dogs that are service dogs in military and in law enforcement, because that's where a lot of them come from. That being said, I will say this, they don't communicate the same way. Look, my dog starts talking to me, I'm going to be checking my pill bottles. Now, I've told you, I saw some, when you're on some heavy narcotics in the hospital, you see some things, all right? Abraham Lincoln dancing on pancakes, all right. That was weird. But I gotta say, Balaam kept it together when that thing turned around and started speaking to him. He began having a conversation. My dog speaks to me. I'm like, get off my lap. What are you doing? Possessed little thing. What is going on here? They don't communicate the same way. You know what it should be? That communication with your wife should be helpful. Ladies, what you say to your man should be helpful. We live in a day and age where everybody says things that are hurtful. This is why we started the whole thing with this relationships, talking about communication. Check your words. And some people may say, well, that's not how I intended it. Okay, look, I understand that may not be how you intended it, but you need to purpose your words to make sure that there's no ambiguity. You need to be clear and at the same time have it seasoned always with grace. Communicate in love. Truth in love. I'll tell you, sometimes that's a hard thing to do as a counselor. You're sitting there and you're counseling somebody and they tell you something and you're just sitting there going, well, I see your problem. And you're listening. And then they ask and they say, well, what's my problem? And you have to communicate it with grace. As I've said before, there was a couple in our church. They did some marital counseling with a pastor at a previous church, and they were talking to me about it, and they were laughing, and they were having a conflict in the relationship, and they go to this pastor, and he says one thing, and he's just like, blah, 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 you know, she does, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, she responds, well, he's back and forth, and so on and so forth. And the pastor's just sitting there the whole time, like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, okay, mm-hmm, okay. And then they kind of get done, and they're sitting there, and they're like, well, what do we need to do? And he said, well, I'll tell you, it's pretty clear from what you said. Both of you need to grow up. And they're both like, what? Sat back, like, wait a second, what? He's like, you're acting like five-year-olds. What's your problem? That may not be communicating truth and love, all right? What I'm saying is we need to be helpful in that regards. Ladies, your task is to make sure you are helpful. And it starts off by using helpful words. And I will tell you this, the only way you're going to find out how helpful words work is to just go through and study the Word of God. You're not going to find it with Dr. Spock. Remember him back in the 70s? And I'm not talking about, you know, that guy, all right? You know, Star Trek, all right? Totally different guy. But I'm being very specific here because the world isn't going to give you the right kind of advice. The Word of God is going to tell you how to say things. And again, it goes back to that word fitly spoken. That's the idea. A man has a body, a soul, and a spirit. An animal only has a body and a spirit. It doesn't have a soul. It's not the same thing. How can you have a relationship with something that's soulless? God made relationships to be knitted together because of the commonality of the soul. God created woman with a soul. I understand the spiritual influence. I understand that spirits can kind of be knit together somewhat, but the real true knitting takes place at the soul level. And the soul level deals with the heart. And with the heart, there's the mind. There's so many things that we find that parallel the physical that is in the heart, which is that, if you will, that central part of the soul. That's where it really truly connects. I'm sure we've all seen it. I'm sure we've all seen the people that, you know, they're the pretty couple. And I'm not saying this is necessarily always the case, but sometimes people just marry people based off of looks. I like the way she looks. You know, people are sitting there going, you know, she's got to have all of these qualifications, and they're generally physical. You ever hear that those things where it talks about when people are dating and they're like, well, what's your type? Human. Start there, all right? And in this day and age, you never know anymore. I mean, you know, there's some stuff out there. You know, for a guy, it's human and female. And let's be clear about that, all right? So again, what I'm getting at is this, is that connection is got to be at the soul level. And the soul is a spiritual component of the body. It's not the flesh. It's not the flesh. I knew a guy, he was up in north of us in a church, and The guy really was struggling trying to find a wife, and he didn't know what to do, and was just kind of throwing up his hands. And he got to the point of where, you know what, I guess I'm done with this. I guess I'm going to go ahead and just mail order a bride. This is before Amazon, okay? If you're getting a bride off Amazon, please. If you're getting a bride from Temu, oh man, something's wrong. But you know, and I will tell you this: I have never seen a couple more in love in my entire life, and it wasn't based off of looks. It was based off of two people came together about the love of the Word of God. That's how he found her on this mail order system. I don't know where it was. I don't know where, you know, I don't know the website or anything like that, and I'm not going to give it, okay? Even if I did. But I will say this. They found out that both of them loved the Word of God, and they both had a desire to serve the Lord, and they both had a desire to please him in all things. And you know what? That was sufficient for him. And he married her, if you will, proposed to her, married her, all of that stuff, and generally sight unseen. Because it was a soul connection. If we only focus on the physical things, we're only going to have a shallow relationship. Because flesh only goes a little bit. That being said, I will say this. When it comes to that term helpmeet, that term helpmeet is not in a physical sense. Companionship is not physical. It's spiritual. It's soulish. It's soulish. It's the soul that makes us human. It's the soul that provides real connections where they're made. And I want us to understand this when we think about these things. And there's a lot that we're going to talk about, you know, specifically. And if you will, turn over to 1 Peter. These are some passages that, you know, people are fairly familiar with. In 1 Peter chapter 3, and I'm going to read some things. We'll discuss a little bit more about this as we move through this. It says, likewise ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, that they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversations coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair or wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So this passage right here, you know, a lot of people take, they focus on the wrong thing, and they focus a lot on the physical. They're like, well, they shouldn't be wearing those things and so on and so forth. No, that's not what it's saying. It's saying it's not about the physical. What's going to win over the husband is not physical. That's the point behind this. What's being said here? He's talking about the obedience to God and the Word of God having an influence in the spousal relationship. And it's specifically in this case, salvation. It's not the physical. He says, look, it's not supposed to be what it looks like on the outside. What she looks like on the outside is of little consequence if there's nothing on the inside that says she wants to obey God. And it says in verse 4, let it be the hidden man of the heart. The hidden man of the heart. Look, the ornaments, when we think of that term ornaments, and when you look at it in Scripture, you know, often people think of ornaments, they think of what? Christmas trees, right? And you put ornaments up there, and they're keepsake ornaments, and you get some from Hallmark or wherever, and blah, blah, blah. And you have the ornaments on there, and there's special ornaments, and there's ornaments. I've had I got an ornament that I was given when I was young. I think it's like from 1972, so it was before I was born. This thing, it actually has the little date stamped on there, and it was given to me, and that's my ornament, and I've kept that ornament, it's kind of a little treasure for me. You know, it may not be for others, but it is for me. That being said, I will tell you this. It's not the ornaments on the outside, and that's what people would do, is they would have ornaments on the outside that would show relationship or would show wealth or would show, you know, tribe, would show whatever it is. And there would be this ornamentation that was there to make things appealing. And it's not that kind of ornamentation that is in the marital relationship that's of importance. The ornament that should be above all, that it hangs about that person's neck, that woman's neck, should be her love for Jesus. It really doesn't matter what she's wearing if she doesn't love God. I mean, she can look like a Mennonite or an Amish, but that's not godly. What's godly is her behavior, because of the influence that Christ has in her, the effect the Word of God has on her. And what that effect does is it causes her to do things in the sight of her husband that causes him to sit there and go, wait a second. And ladies, that's what it needs to be. Notice she's not necessarily saying words here. In verse 2, it says, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. And let's understand that word conversation. Conversation is not what we often think of today. We think of conversation, two people going back and forth. But there's more than that. Not only is there bodily conversation that's going on, because again, you can say one thing. You can say, well, I hope you have a nice day. And my face is bright and cheery, right? Like that. Or I can say, I hope you have a nice day. Gritting my teeth. Totally different. Amen. This conversation is your actions. And as I've said before, conversation is when your words and your actions, because of the desires of your heart, match. And that's what we're talking about here. If she's talking about Jesus and she's talking about Christ and she's talking about the Word of God, she better be living it. Because that's going to have an influence. Notice that that husband is beholding that conversation. Not just hearing it, but seeing it with his eyes. And ladies, again, this becomes of primary importance. This is how you help your husband. I understand sometimes there's physical needs. My wife helped me when I was not well. She bandaged my wounds. There's a humorous story she'll tell you sometime when you ask her about my wounds and things like that, and how she quickly ran out of a room one time as one of the PACs was describing how to clean the wound and stuff, and she was like, gone, out. That spread throughout the Vancouver clinic, by the way, of her response, specifically the surgical department. And I will tell you this, though, she pushed down a lot of stuff that she had to overcome to be a helpmeet in that physical sense. But look, the fact is yes, there may be times that physical help is there, and that's great. But again, I implore, ladies, your first help is in the spiritual department. It's in the spiritual department, not in the physical. Now, next week, we'll catch up on some of these other things that we just talked about here. I'll talk about them a little bit more. Again, I would advise you and say, look, guys, don't try to find that woman by offering pieces of cheese. That's the worldly mentality. I will tell you this. Look for a woman that wants more than cheese. We'll look for a woman that wants the Word of God. Amen. Let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I thank you for the time. Thank you again for this opportunity, Lord, to learn about this relationship that you have created. And Lord, I pray that we would take these things, use them to please you and honor you in how we have our marriages. Lord, I thank you again for giving us this instruction and teaching us. And I pray you continue to meet with us for the 11 o'clock hour. This I ask in your Son's precious and most holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen.